Good morning, Matt. Thanks for the time.
Good morning, Chris. Thanks so much for having me on. It's a great time of year, great weekend for basketball, and excited to talk about it with you.
I can't wait. Any big surprises for you when it comes to the bracket, either seeding teams that didn't get in or just the bracket in general?
I would say certainly a surprise is the fact that the committee put Duke and Carolina in the same region.
Yeah.
I think that Duke was fairly seeded as a 2 seed. Carolina was fairly seeded as a 3 seed. But the fact that the committee put them together to go on a collision course to potentially meet in the Sweet 16. Now, obviously, both teams will have difficult second round matchups on their home court. So this is far from a given that these two teams would end up beating one another. But definitely the fact that that is possible as early as the Sweet 16 is rather surprising.
Yeah, I don't like that at all. I mean, I enjoy your company and I like seeing you, but I really don't want to see you in the Sweet 16.
And I know. I would prefer to see you further down the line in the Final Four, you know?
It would be great. Let's talk about this from a college basketball perspective, though, Matt. Our little slice of heaven here on Tobacco Road. You've got Duke, State, Carolina all hosting women's games. NC State, of course, hosting the men's first and second rounds at the Lenovo Center. What does this mean for women's basketball to be able to have these three teams hosting these events within 30 minutes of each other?
I think it's enormous. And just for those listeners that may not know, in the women's game, the top 16 teams nationally earn the opportunity to host the first and second round on their home court. So the fact that Carolina, Duke, and State are all hosting games this weekend means that our region is home to three of the top 16 teams in the country in women's basketball. And all three schools have had plenty of success in their past. But it's felt like it's been a long time, and the numbers would bear it out. It's been since the late 90s since all three teams have hosted at the same time. So it feels as if, you know, there have been years where State and Carolina have been good, but Duke has been a little down, or Carolina's been down, and State and Duke have been solid teams. But to have all three hosting at the same time just shows the health of the game in the Triangle. And we saw some fantastic games this year, some real nail biters when these teams got together in the regular season. And it just shows that women's basketball is a sport that just continues to push the three-way rivalry of these three schools forward.
It's just, we're just kind of the epicenter of women's basketball, it feels like, here on Tobacco Road.
I would agree. Three of the four ACC hosts coming from our area.
Of course, Notre Dame, the other ACC host. Overall, eight ACC teams made the field of 68. Of those eight, maybe the ones we haven't talked about, who's got the best chance to make a deep run?
I think Louisville's interesting. The committee created an interesting potential matchup there as they are playing TCU potentially in the second round. Louisville's got to get by Nebraska first. But Louisville has a player, or had a player, named Haley Van Lith, who is now a fifth-year senior and the star of the TCU team, transferred to LSU. That didn't really work last year, so then on TCU, her third school. So if Louisville is able to get by Nebraska, then they've got the chance to play TCU, and I like Louisville's chances there just because of that, you know, underlying storyline. Another wild card team, and this is going out on a limb because of their potential second round matchup, is Georgia Tech. Yeah. Georgia Tech pushed NC State to the absolute brink in the ACC quarterfinals, falling by a point. They had the ball and just had a disjointed final possession where they couldn't get a shot off. I think there was a lack of awareness of the game clock for Georgia Tech in that situation, because if they had gotten a shot off, they would have put up a shot that would have won the game potentially. Georgia Tech got off to a very hot start this year. They were 15-0 for the first time in school history, hit some bumps in the middle of the season, but started to play well as they pounded Virginia Tech prior to that one-point loss to NC State. They've got to go west for the second time this month, having previously been out there for the Cal and Stanford trip. They see Richmond today in Los Angeles, and with a win, all but assuredly UCLA. Georgia Tech is a young team. They're an explosive team. But don't just, you know, put UCLA straightforward into your Sweet 16. I think Georgia Tech could give them a game. should the Yellow Jackets get by Richmond.
Okay. To that point, I think if you are visiting with Matt Krause, radio broadcaster at UNC for the women's basketball program, this tournament in the past, the NCAA tournament, Matt, has been very chalk. It seems like the top seeds always advance to the Final Four. Probably not the case this year, right?
I don't think so. You have UConn, who is a two seed. They're playing very, very well. They're on the two line because of some early season losses to marquee teams, and the rest of the Big East outside of UConn has been down the last couple of years, and so there's not really opportunities for the Huskies to bolster their metrics other than by blowing out conference competition, which they've been doing. But UConn is a two seed. They've got the ability to go on a run. Notre Dame has had a very interesting year. Mm-hmm. They lost back-to-back games in November to TCU, who we've already talked about, and a Utah team that wound up as an 8 seed out of the Big 12. And then the Irish went on this long, long winning streak that lasted all the way until they lost the Wolfpack at Reynolds in late February and eventually bowed out of the ACC tournament in the semifinals to Duke. So Notre Dame now is coming into the NCAAs on one of their funks for the second time this year. If they bust out of the funk the way that they did in December when they beat Texas and UConn, well, they're a three seed that's got the chance to make a run. Obviously, the winner of Carolina Duke, should they meet up in the Sweet 16, will have the chance to challenge South Carolina. So definitely not a chalk situation among the top seeds. And also, you know, further down the bracket, there's plenty of chances for your 11 over 6 kind of matchups in the women's game. It's definitely moving along and growing in that regard.
No doubt. We could spend the whole hour talking. We got to wrap up, Matt. Where can our listeners find your work tonight or tomorrow night as the Tar Heels begin their NCAA tournament run?
Yeah, it's Carolina and Oregon State, the champions of the West Coast Conference. It's a 4:30 p.m. tip-off approximately at Carmichael Arena. We'll be on the air on the Tar Heel Sports Network at 4 o'clock p.m. with the Reed Jewelers pregame show, and we'll be on the air 30 minutes prior to all of Carolina's NCAA tournament games.
Great stuff. Matt Krause, the radio broadcaster for UNC Women's Basketball. Matt, appreciate the time. Good luck this weekend, and I'll see you in Birmingham next week.
Thanks so much, Chris. Best of luck to you as well. I'll see you there.